with Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty. Why is Tony Fauci still running around free instead of hanging by the end of a noose somewhere? So, as if on cue, the authorities in Australia are now threatening the country with a Christmas lockdown. They're blaming it on, quote, the grandchildren of Omicron. And the only solution, of course, is for the public to submit to a never-ending stream of booster shots. Australia used to be a free country. It's absolutely not anymore. Now it's Canada down under. And speaking of, in Canada, Justin Trudeau says that at least 80 or 90% of people need to be getting boosters, or else more lockdowns, more control, more suffering, more domination. Maria Zee is our Australian correspondent, and she hosts Uncensored on the Stu Peters Network. She joins us now to discuss this. So the tyranny is never ending and escalating in Australia.
As always, Stu, the tyranny is part of daily life now, and that is evidenced by the helicopters that have been incessantly flying over our homes since the lockdowns, and they are intent on terrorizing the public. So they've recently come out. Chief Medical Officer Paul Kelly is saying that he's not ruling out a Christmas lockdown, though at this stage he does say it's not likely, but that's not the point here. The point is that they're using this language again, and of course it is in time for the fifth rollout of the jabs. In fact, they're saying that that could be recommended by the Technical Advisory Board for vaccines as early as January, although I think that they'll push it through sooner, just in time for the fifth jab. So Australians' summer plans could be disrupted with a new wave of COVID expected to intensify. The language that these people are using, of course, is nowhere near as aggressive as it was during the main period of the lockdowns. I really think that they're testing the public right now, seeing whether the people are actually going to comply with this like they did last time, and testing the waters. The reality is I don't think that Australians will comply, but here's what they've been doing so far. Chief Health Officer of New South Wales, Dr. Kerry Chant, has come on and said, you know, we need to be prepared. We need to be getting our boosters. A new strain's going to hit. Similar things echoed by Chief Health Officer Paul, Brett Sutton in Victoria. They've also shut down, sent hundreds of students home at Tangara Girls' School, Stu, in New South Wales, after one student tested positive with a faulty PCR test, claiming that they caught it off teachers. So they're not, they haven't stopped their attitude of sending all these kids home, even though they know it caused drops in IQ levels, drops in school scores at school. They know how destructive this is, and yet they're practicing the same tactics all over again. And you just mentioned Trudeau. He said recently, unless the population gets vaccinated, that's the only way to avoid another lockdown. They're using this to scare people into not losing their incomes again, not having disruption of their lives, and continuing on the so-called freedom that they've given back to us, apparently.
Yeah, 80 to 90% is what he's saying, have to have their fifth booster. Meanwhile, we have shown repeatedly over and over again the faces of the young doctors at the peak of their physical condition, now approaching 100, over 80 for sure, doctors that have just died suddenly, dropped dead after getting their fourth mandated injection. Now they're rolling out the fifth. They're pointing the needle directly at children. You mentioned this wench, Dr. Kerry Chant. I remember her sitting down with this Brad Hazard at the beginning of all of this. This was the most draconian, the most totalitarian speech or argument or debate that I've ever seen in my life. Any dissenting opinion, any questions were immediately shut down. She actually threw a little fit, got up and walked out of this thing. She was talked over all the time. They would not let anybody ask any questions. How does she remain in power? How does she remain in any position of authority in Australia?
Well, I the same as all the others, Stu. And interestingly enough, recently I interviewed Dr. William Bay, an Australian doctor who's bravely speaking out. And he's been doing some digging, and it turns out there's a shadow organization who's actually ruling all of these doctors. And that particular organization is, surprise, surprise, run by Brad Hazard, also known as health hazard here in Australia, and Yvette Duth, who's the chief health officer in Queensland. So it's no wonder that no one's allowed to ask questions, but when the dictators, two of them, one of the from two of the most draconian states, I mean, they're all draconian in the country. Stu, here's the thing. These people are using the same language, threatening people, using the same tactics, but I truly don't think that it's going to work this time. And these people have the gall to call for an amnesty after everything that they've done to us. I'm all for forgiving people that were deceived, regular people that were terrorized and deceived and fearful, okay? But here's the time for all people to stand up and say, absolutely not. We cannot and will not tolerate this any longer. There will be no amnesty until there is an admission of guilt, a repentance seen in these people. And I can tell you right now in Australia, there is no repentance. In fact, they want to do it to you again. They're threatening you with lockdowns again, and they have no intention of stopping.
Anybody who thinks COVID is going away is completely not dealing in reality. This is something that we're going to have to live with because they're not going to stop until they are stopped. Now, previously on your exploding show, by the way, Maria Z Uncensored on the Stu Peters Network, you can find it exclusively at stupeters.com. Show is doing wonderful. We're so happy to have you. But on that program, which I watch regularly, as well as here on the Stu Peters Show, you have oftentimes said that you think that Australians have been duped, they've been deceived, they've been propagandized, they've been brainwashed, and that they're just, you know, blindly going along with these restrictions, blindly going along with these mandates and quote-unquote lockdowns. Whenever we ever mention lockdown, I mean, this is what happens in a maximum security prison facility for rapists and murderers and gangbangers, which now we just let those people out so that we can replace them with dissidents who question elections or COVID response measures. But now you're saying that you think that these Australians have had enough and that they're not going to comply. Why the tide change?
A major news source did a survey, Stu, and they found that only 35% of people didn't regret their vaccine decision. That's a very small amount of the population who I think would actually go back and, you know, continue with their shots. Many, many people have said to me, and I speak to strangers all the time, I had COVID. It's no big deal. I won't go back for any more. So really the only solution here, Stu, is if they come down really hard on us again, and I just don't think the citizens will tolerate it. People in my Telegram are saying we will absolutely oppose this at all costs. There is no way that people are going to be fooled mass scale like they were before, because the reality is people just realize COVID is no big deal now. And it's the majority of the statistics are among those who've had the jabs that are going to hospital and sadly dying. I know that you're releasing a documentary soon, Died Suddenly. I can't wait for that to go viral and more people to wake up. The establishment is very afraid of you, Stu, and this network. And this is all the more reason why we need to continue doing what we're doing so that the masses will say no, because the answer has always been just say no.
Yeah, and they're not terrified of me. They're terrified of the truth. And the truth is broadcast widely by the audience here, by the Stu crew, by people who tune into this show regularly, because this show would be nowhere if it wasn't for millions upon millions of people sharing it across every single social media platform. People are risking their social media platforms for the sake of humanity. And it's to them that we owe the giant thanks. And I would imagine that 35% that you were mentioning, I think that number will be 3.5%. after Died Suddenly comes out, November 21st, get early access exclusively at stupeters.com, 5 p.m. Eastern. Maria Z, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
Of course. Go there right now, stupeters.com. Enter your email address at the top of the page. Be notified the second that Died Suddenly premieres. November 21st, 5 p.m. Eastern, stupeters.com. Share that link globally. The documentary event of our generation. The great people over at Bioptimizers have done it again. 75% of Americans suffer from a magnesium deficiency. Well, this is really bad. Your bodily functions heavily rely on having the appropriate types and the right amounts of magnesium in your body. 75% of Americans suffer from added stress and anxiety, low mood, depression, sleepless nights, and even an early grave as a result of this deficiency. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. The seven most critical types, the exact appropriate amounts of magnesium in this one capsule that you take once a day at dinner time, your evening meal, you'll never get better sleep. Your body relies heavily on having the exact appropriate amounts and right types of magnesium in your body. Your body's overall functions. Make sure that you have it. Go to Bioptimizer's website, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. firing on all cylinders from the minute that you pop your eyes open. You're just awake and processing information. You're more driven. You're more focused. You have more creativity, more clarity than ever before in your life. And that's because you found the Nootropics brain supplements from Nootopia.com/StuPeters. Go there. You will not believe how much information you'll learn about yourself when you fill out the personal questionnaire about how you process information. This is the on switch, the light switch, completely safe, not addictive, 100% legal. You're not going to go to jail or be arrested because you're outsmarting everybody, because you're a better employee, a better mom, a better homeschooler, a better father, a better employer, a better boss, a better business owner, entrepreneur. You're just sifting through the distractions and just defeating everything that comes your way. Nootropics brain supplements from Nootopia, the way to go. Nootopia.com/StuPeters.
What's your message to Republicans who are considering investigating your family and particularly your son Hunter's business dealings?
Lots of luck in your senior year, as my coach used to say. Look, I think the American public wants us to move on and get things done for them. And, you know, I heard that there were... It was reported, whether it's accurate or not, I'm not sure, but it was reported many times that Republicans were saying, and the former president said, how many times are you going to impeach Biden? You know, impeachment proceeding against Biden. I mean, I think the American people will look at all of that for what it is. It's just almost comedy. I mean, it's, but, you know, look, I can't control what they're going to do. All I can do is continue to try to make life better for the American people.
America is ready to move on from the Hunter Biden scandal. Here to discuss is Deanna Lorraine. Deanna, I don't know about you, but after seeing what happened during 2020, where the media colluded with the FBI, the social media companies, in order to shut down the Hunter Biden story, laptop story, which turned out to be true. They labeled it Russian misinformation. But if the American people had known that these corrupt business dealings were actually taking place and all the degeneracy, the human trafficking, everything that Hunter Biden was participating in, Joe Biden would have never been president. Just ignoring the fraud. But what do you think? Do you think America's ready to move on without justice for the Biden laptop scandal?
Well, first of all, Biden is comedy. He's correct about that. Secondly, no, absolutely not. We're not ready to move on. We never said we were ready to move on. In fact, we can't move on because it's never been settled. There's never been any closure around it. There's never been any justice around it. They never let Trump go for his one call with Ukraine. What about Biden's actual dealings with Ukraine? But Biden and his son's dealings with Ukraine, his scandal. They never let his taxes go. They never let Russia go. So no, we're not ready to let Hunter Biden's scandal go. Thank you very much. We're not ready, and there's been no closure around it.
Yeah. And even still, also on top of that, Ashley Biden's diary being released, talking about the inappropriate showers that she took with her father. So we have a confirmed sexual deviant in the House, possibly a pedophile in the White House, and with his son who has serious issues. Like, he just screams abuse. That's what it screams to me, is like childhood abuse with him. And this is, you know, explains the drug addiction, the sex addiction, the porn addiction that Hunter has, you know, and it just goes to show that a man who can't even rule over or take care of his own house can't take care of the country, because the family is the smallest form of government. And looking at Joe Biden's family, man, we are in trouble. So recently, the White House also got fact-checked by Twitter. So they put out a statement saying that Social Security checks are the highest they've ever been. Senior citizens are making the most money they've ever made off of their Social Security, thanks to Joe Biden's leadership. That was not true. So it turns out the cost of living and inflation is what caused the Social Security checks to go up, because people would not be able to survive unless they were given a raise, per se, because they're on a fixed income. And, you know, I thought it was really funny that the White House tried to take advantage of that. They tried to say, hey, listen, like, this is because of Joe Biden. It turned out it wasn't true. Well, they got shut down by Twitter. But I just find it crazy to me that the White House would blatantly, the Biden administration would so blatantly lie to the American people's faces. I feel like they think we're stupid. What do you think?
You feel like they think we're stupid? Yes. Of course they think we're stupid. And not only that, they're stupid. This is not a president. This is a gaslighter in chief. All they do all day long is gaslight. We found that a new study shows that 75% of the country feels that it's going in the wrong direction. And the number one issue right now that is pressing American families is the economy. People can't put food on their table. There was also a recent study out that showed that some people, a lot of Americans, are skipping meals so that they could deal with the higher prices of gas and groceries. That's not okay. That's not okay in America. But when Biden was asked about this, and a reporter just recently said, would you do anything different knowing that 75% of the country feels it's going in the wrong direction? Would you do anything differently in the next few years? He said, no, nothing, nothing at all. He literally doesn't care about the American people. He doesn't care about our pressing needs. He doesn't care that most people can't put food on the table anymore or enjoy vacations or even the basic bare necessities. He doesn't care. He'll just gaslight us into oblivion. But that's all they do. Lauren, all they do is gaslight and lie to the American people. And that's the point. They don't care. They're not in touch with us because they're showing us a strong message. This is the way that it's going to go. Like it, love it, or hate it. This is the way that we're taking you. We're taking you towards our agenda, whether you like it or not. And that's really terrifying.
Yeah, it is. And you know what is super concerning is that no matter what the poll numbers show, Biden doesn't change course. He has no interest in changing course. Any other president in American history, if their polling numbers are low, as bad, and his disapproval ratings are so bad, presidents and leaders will drastically try to change course, to change something that they're doing in order to get those poll numbers back up, especially since he's trying to run for president again. But since the elections are fixed, the fix is already in, as we saw in the 2022 midterms. Like, what is happening is insane. Like, American elections really are a selection. It's selection week is exactly what it is. But any other normal leader or president would drastically change course to get those polling numbers back up, to get those approval ratings back up. The most concerning thing he doesn't care. Like, how could he not care what the American people think about his leadership, especially if he's rerunning again? It just goes to show that there's a stronghold over our elections, and there's also a stronghold over our president. I don't really think that President, quote unquote, Joe Biden is really running the country. Who would you say is pulling the strings behind the Biden administration?
It's all the people, the same organizers of COVID-19 and the Great Reset, Klaus Schwab, corporatocracy, the deep state. I mean, the same people that are part of the World Economic Forum, the same people, BlackRock, right? All the kind of shadow government is responsible for actually pulling the strings. It's the big banks, etc. Not Joe Biden. He's just the puppet.
Yep, it's true. Like, they call us conspiracy theorists for saying there's a deep state. No, there truly is a deep state, and they are the ones who pull the strings. Speaking of the presidential election, it seems that things are about to heat up as Donald Trump is set to announce his presidential run on November 15th. He's been taking some shots at DeSantis. I know you've been covering this closely. Why do you think Donald Trump is already attacking DeSantis just based on rumors that he is planning to run?
Well, first of all, coming from someone who is one of the most loyal Trump supporters, I am not a fan at all of what Trump is doing. Okay, he's doing this, I think, because he's jealous and he's scared that, look, Governor Ron DeSantis is probably the most popular conservative governor in a long time. And he has some very popular policy wins. He's accomplished so much of our conservative goals just in the state of Florida alone. And he was elected in a landslide, a historic landslide, 20% more than what when he was elected to, 4 years ago. So I think that it's a little bit of jealousy and pettiness of Trump. He's trying to kind of stamp out the competition because he's worried that DeSantis will run, even though he's made no indication that he's going to run. And honestly, it's a bad look. Most of his supporters, you can read in the comments when he says these things, bashing DeSantis, they're not liking it either. It's not a good look. Why can't the two of them work together, share the spotlight for a little while? And why not congratulate Ron on his historic win and his conservative wins? This is very petty. And, you know, Candace Owens just told, pretty much said that this morning, too, that this is a very petty thing of Trump to do. And it's really not in line with our conservative goals. It's something that is going to divide the party and do a lot more harm than good. And I think it's something that is going to make him lose more followers than gain. If we're talking, you know, he's saying you know, kind of putting things out there that that DeSantis may not be a good guy or that he's getting money from the deep state. Well, that's not proven yet. And until that's proven, you know, I'm going to support Ron DeSantis because he has had some major wins. He has opened up the state of Florida while Trump kept his state of emergency open. He has been a shill for the vaccines and calls himself the godfather of vaccines, while Ron DeSantis openly rejects them and has policies against vaccines and vaccine mandates and COVID mandates, et cetera. He's one of our biggest freedom fighters in the past year, fighting for our freedoms, while Trump continues to shill for the vaccines and continues to seem like he's bought by Big Pharma. So at this point, someone who's looking a little more deep statey isn't Ron DeSantis, it's more like Donald Trump. But yeah. Keep your eyes and ears open. Part of being a patriot is to have discernment and to trust but verify, always question. You can support someone, but at the same time still question them and use discernment. And I'm sure I'll be downvoted to oblivion by just stating these facts about Trump. But again, we need to support somebody who has our conservative goals in mind. And it should be about unity and about restoring the country with conservative goals and value and bringing, you know, credit to truly the glory of God, not continuing to gloat and bring credit to yourself, which Trump constantly does. And he never gives glory to God, which makes me a little upset.
I understand that. And I see, because we did sit back the last 2 years and have to listen to the vaccine shilling. You know, we can't forget that. You and I both know. You covered it endlessly, how much damage this vaccine has done. And we had to sit and watch him on stage talk about how, oh, it's a great thing. Look how much money the J&J founders, you know, I understand that. And I think
people are dying every day, suddenly every day, yeah, right?
Exactly. I mean, we can't in good conscience just overlook that. We can't. Yeah. And, you know, if he wants our votes, he's going to have to earn it. You know, he needs to say that he is wrong. What he did was wrong. He made a mistake. That way we can move forward, because I think a lot of people are holding that against him, and with good reason, because we've seen firsthand what damage it caused. Deanna, thank you so much for joining us today, and we will see you Monday on the Stu Peters Show. Stu Peters will be back. Make sure you catch Deanna Lorraine on Tuesdays and Thursdays with Shots Fired on the Stu Peters Network at 7 p.m. Thank you, and God bless you, and have a great weekend.
I want to talk to you about my great friends over at Gold Co. You've been hearing me talk about Gold Co. a lot, and they are doing amazing things for the public. I'm getting emails all over the place as people are protecting themselves from this hyperinflation and these tax hikes and this criminal government theft and hundreds of billions of dollars being stolen so it can be sent over to Ukraine and funding the mandates and the bioweapon injections. We're funding our own demise. Plus, they're going to reset the financial system to zero. Everything that you've worked hard for is going to be gone. Protect yourself with gold and silver. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD. 855-706-GOLD. When you do, you'll get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. Make sure to mention Stu Peters when you call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD.
Are you getting sick all the time? The bioweapon boosted are breaking our immune systems. Chemtrails fill the skies. Don't fear the shedpocalypse. Destroy impurities. Protect your children with the future of air purification. Trustfiltersuck.com.
Watch how quickly our machine pulls out dust, shedding, quantum dots, mold, bacteria, viruses, anything that grandma might have brought over from Boosterville, California, we drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance.
Sleep easy with 24/7 protection. Get a unit for your home or the portable device to shield your kids at school. Use promo code STU for huge discounts. Filtersuck.com, your antidote against poison in the air.
Everything that the world has told you is completely upside down, especially when it comes to your health. People avoid chocolate because they think they're going to get fat, or they're going to get acne or oily skin, or it's bad for your health. No. EarthEchoFoods.com. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com right now and enjoy rich, decadent, and creamy chocolate with all of the health benefits that are provided by originating with organic cocoa beans, naturally kissed by the sun. They add turmeric and MCT oil and sea salt and cracked pepper. It is perfect. It's good for your health. Actually reduces inflammation. Makes you feel the best that you've ever felt. Plus, it tastes unbelievably great. EarthEchoFoods.com right now. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com.
Better get this one out there before the supermarkets put their story across and cancel everyone else out. So when you go into a supermarket now, you might see that there is a bit of an egg shortage. So not many eggs on the shelf to buy, not free range, not organic, nothing. So you're struggling to find eggs. supermarkets are going to tell you this is because of avian flu, which, to be fair, there has been a lot of cases of avian flu. But do you want to know the real reason why there's an egg shortage? It's because the supermarkets won't pay the farmers for the eggs. So the supermarkets have upped their price for you, the consumer, but they haven't filtered that price increase down to us, the farmers. So our cost of producing these eggs has skyrocketed. Feed, electric, the price of new birds, that's gone up. But our price of eggs has stayed the same. So we physically can't afford to produce these eggs. So currently there's been 8 million less free-range hens ordered for next year's flocks. So that's just under 8 million eggs every day that we're not gonna be producing. So that's 8 million eggs less every single day that we don't produce. And we're already 3 million eggs short of being self-sufficient. So the UK have to import 3 million eggs every day to feed the nation. And now we're losing another 8 million birds because the supermarkets won't pay us. And they're gonna blame the farmers. They'll be like, oh, well, the farmers should just stock them and produce you great British food. But we can't afford to. If the supermarkets paid us a fair price for our eggs, then we would stock our sheds and there would be more sheds going up and the UK could be self-sufficient in great British eggs. But the supermarkets won't pay us. So if you can make any sense of that, or if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer. But yeah, the current egg shortage isn't really due to avian flu. It's because the supermarkets are refusing to pay us a fair price for our produce.
Inflation and shortages, folks. You just heard from an egg farmer over in the UK. There is a shortage now in eggs. Now, as he said before, they will try to blame this on the avian flu. However, it seems to appear that these corporations, these supermarkets, the powers that be refuse to pay what it costs to produce. It's a war on farmers. And here to join us now is Clayton Llewellyn. He's from HeavensHarvest.com, a sponsor of the Stu Peters Network. Listen, you've been warning about these food shortages that are coming. What are your thoughts on the upcoming or the incoming, actually, it's already here, egg shortage over in the UK?
Lauren, we talked about this a couple months ago. I don't even know if it was a couple months ago. Like, this is the same thing that's going on in this country. These farmers know what it costs to produce so much, you know, and if they're not going to get that price or they can't make a margin on it, they're not going to do it. There's no sense in them going bankrupt trying to produce what they can't do. You know, I mean, this is the same thing that's going on with vegetables in Florida. Like, these guys know it costs this much to plant it. I can get this much off of it and I sell it for this much. If the numbers don't add up, you don't plant it. And I've seen that with my own eyes. These guys plowing crops under. Like, it's going to cost more to harvest this than what I can get for it. This isn't the grocery stores and the supermarkets not wanting to pay. This is big corporations not wanting to pay. And the big corporations are tied into big government.
Right. Well, don't they know that this eventually is going to lead to chaos and people not being able to find the food they need, which, you know, when people are starving, I mean, you don't want to be in a nation where people are going hungry because there's no food to buy. Why would these globalist corporations allow it to get to this point?
Lauren, this is the end game. This is the goal from day one. I mean, we've talked about the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, like these guys want to see the world's population cut in half.
Yes.
Less than that. I mean, some of them are saying, what do they want, like 500 million people in the world? Or I mean, it's crazy.
Yes.
I mean, but for the last 100 years, we've perfected farming. We've grown enough food to be able to feed plenty of people, to give us all free time to, you know, explore other avenues, build wealth. Well, now they want to cut that. You know, I mean, they want to see the world's population cut in half. And how do you cut the world's population in half? The same way it grew. You attack the food. You know, and I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. You control the food, you control the people. And, you know, everybody thinks this is a joke. We're making this up. We're conspiracy theorists. This is happening right now. Governments all over the world are telling farmers, hey, look, you've got to cut your livestock production by 30%. Hey, we don't want you using fertilizers anymore. They're bad for the environment. Fertilizer production right now accounts for feeding half the world's population.
Right.
And we're already cutting that. You know what I mean? The war in Ukraine's not helping it. Companies in America, trains are refusing to deliver fertilizer. Like, I mean, that's fertilizer is a huge part of how we grow our food. And we're being told, hey, we can't use it anymore. You know, they're wanting to go to like these vertical grow houses where they can, where big corporations can control everything we're being given. They're looking to put the mRNA vaccines in it.
Yes.
They're looking to put the vaccines in the beef. You know, I was talking to Stu yesterday about this. Like, well, you know, if you're a cattle farmer and, you know, hey, I don't want to put that stuff in my beef, you know, well, the farmer just tells them, no, hey, you can't put it in your beef. Yeah, that's not the way it works. I mean, how many cows in this country are grazed on BLM land? Millions. Millions. And all the government has to do is step in and say, hey, look, if you wanted to graze your cattle on our land, it's got to be given this vaccine. So everybody that's refused to take this vaccine that's killing millions of people, guess what? It's in your food now.
Yeah.
You have no choice.
Now, they started that in Australia. They fast-tracked it. Not only did they like make this plan for it, they fast-tracked it. They just started rolling it out, the mRNA vaccine. And as we know, Australia trends about 2 to 3 months behind the United States or ahead of the United States of America. And it seems to be the testing ground of the world. You know, they run experiments on Australia. And it seems to be they try it there first. You know, they started with the quarantine camps over there, the digital vaccine pass IDs, all that stuff started over in Australia. And then it made its way eventually over here in certain states. So they'll go to like Washington State or New York State, the more liberal states, and start implementing that policy here. So it's something that we certainly need to keep an eye on, because if it's happening over there, it's going to happen over here. And we know that Trudeau just cut down the fertilizer production in Canada for the sake of quote-unquote climate change. But like you said, Clayton, they even put it on the Georgia Guidestones, reduce the population to 500,000 or 500 million people in balance with nature. They think that there's way too many people on this world, in this world. They use up way too many resources, and they must be eliminated. And one way they can do it is vaccines. Another way they can do it is food shortages. So how much time do you think we have before the United States? I know the food shortages will hit the United States probably last later on. Around what time? Because I know it's the fall right now. And I know that it was a very poor harvesting season this year. I know that there is incoming diesel shortages as well. When do you think? Well, I mean, we're already feeling it. We're already feeling it with inflation. We're already feeling it not really being able to go to the grocery store and find everything we need. I go to the grocery store, I can maybe find one of my favorite lunch meats. The other ones are not available. So it's subtle right now, but when are we looking at probably full-blown panic? What do you think they have planned for us?
It's not subtle right now, Lauren. It's bad right now. You know, I mean, I'm not sure what the how well off your listeners are.
Right.
But the grocery stores right now have had a 15%, 13 point something increase in food this year.
Right.
That affects a lot of Americans. Your listeners may not be feeling it, but 15% increase in your food like hurts millions and millions and millions of people in this country. It hurts billions of people worldwide. Like you said, the crop this year is awful. Awful. I mean, again, they've cut fertilizer this year. We've had droughts all over the place. We've got governments telling farmers they can't grow this. We've killed millions of chickens. We've killed millions of pigs. We've watched millions of cows being killed. Farmers literally tilled under their crop this year because it's not worth growing. And again, what we're eating on the shelf today wasn't grown yesterday. It was grown 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to progressively get worse throughout for the next coming months. We're going to start to really, really see this. You know, like the guy talking right there about eggs, that's going to show up. You know, we're already seeing it and trying to get our food together for our buckets, our seeds. I was talking to Stu about this yesterday. Our seeds in our seed kit, cherry tomato seeds, I usually pay $10 to $15 a pound, somewhere in there. They were $1,000 for 5 pounds of cherry tomato seeds. $1,000. That is absolutely insane. That's crazy. And again, that's not going to show up today. That's going to show up in 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the road. But we're already starting to see the effects of it today. I'm shocked more of the media isn't talking about this. Of course, you can't talk about this. It would send everybody into pure panic. but people need to start stocking up. They need to start putting survival food in their closet. They need to get a seed kit. I mean, if you want to take the vaccine, I'm all for it. That's your decision. If you don't want to take the vaccine, they're going to stick it in your food for you.
Right. And I know that Heaven's Harvest does have meats, like freeze-dried meats. So does it keep its nutritional value? Is it something that we are able, like I believe you just add water and it returns to its former state. Is that correct? That's what kind of sets you apart from everybody else, is that your food is freeze-dried. I know I eat it for dinner. You know, it's good enough to eat for dinner. I saw an interview you did where it's good for hunters as well. Like hunters will take a bucket of food because it's easy and it's good. It's good food. It's not like you're eating it because you have no other options. So I highly suggest that Stu's audience, those who are listening, go and check out heavensharvest.com. Use promo code Stu to support the Stu Peters Show and our good friend Clayton. Clayton, thank you so much for coming on and discussing this. I was really excited to talk about the video I found with the egg shortage. I'm glad you were able to speak to that. It's very concerning. You know, I'm in Florida, so I know that we have a port here. DeSantis kind of lined it up, so I'm not seeing the actual empty shelves that a lot of people are seeing, but I see the inflation. I know I buy less at the grocery store. I'm buying less food because I don't have as much money to buy what I used to, because it doesn't cost what it used to. And, you know, that's the reality of it. And, you know, I really appreciate you, and we appreciate all you're doing over at Heaven's Harvest. That's heavensharvest.com. Use promo code Stu. Thank you, Clayton.
Lauren, thank you.
I want to tell you about our great friends over at Curable. Curable.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com. Curable is the family-owned CBD business that grows all of their hemp locally right here in my home state of Minnesota, and then ship it to you wherever you are. Curable can help you with things like joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, migraine headaches, even allergies. People report positive benefits using CBD dealing with Parkinson's symptoms or their children battling ADHD. Stop with the antipsychotics. Stop with the Ritalin and poisonous neurotoxins in your children. Try CBD. All kinds of different oils, plus 20% off site-wide when you use promo code Stu at Curable.com.
The boosters are killing millions.
Shut up, vaccine sensitivity.
A vaccine holocaust has begun.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business.
The vaccinated have chronic COVID.
Hey, folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID, but I've been double vaccinated, double boosted.
They're drowning in bioweapon sludge, and gay people are taking doggy style to the extreme. But a generation of patriots are standing back and standing by. Christopher Key is leading the revolution.
Good morning.
Temple. That's why they're poisonous with the water, the food, the supplements.
Confronting corrupt corporations through peaceful protest and righteous resistance. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on pure blood survival and products to keep your loved ones safe. Vaccine-police.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Edward Zoll, sitting in for Stu as he does what all red-blooded Americans do in the fall. Hunt and kill deer to fill the fridge for winter. Now, someone who is also on the hunt today is Ukraine's actor-in-chief, Volodymyr Zelensky. He's not looking for meat, rather he's looking for money, though his soldiers in the past have. Human meat, mind you. Don't ever forget that Ukrainian cannibal who pulled a corpse of what he thought was a Russian soldier from a disabled armored vehicle and then proceeded to boil the meat off the bone and eat it for an early Thanksgiving dinner. Turned out it was one of his comrades. And ironically, this is exactly how our Slavic allies have treated us. We, their rich comrades, who have sent them $100 billion, have had our carcass picked to the bone of bankruptcy. We don't have money to forgive the crippling student debt which is strangling the Zoomers, but we do have bullets and gold to send to the wastelands of Ukraine as Russia continues their warnings of nuclear war over the threats to the Crimea. This apocalyptic brinksmanship has also invited the attention of another great competitor in the East, the Communist Party of China. They want Taiwan. They want to dominate the Pacific. And now they are partnering with Russia to launch a gold-backed cryptocurrency as a final death blow to the flailing petrodollar. Call me crazy, but I'd love to concentrate my energy on America. Keep our land safe and raise our children right. Nuclear war is not conducive to raising a family. Neither is national bankruptcy. Join me to discuss how we can avert this looming war with the other two great nuclear superpowers is America First National Security Advisor David Eyne. Welcome to the show, sir. Sir, I've noted, you know, especially as an American who cares about our security, I'm not an isolationist. I'm not someone who completely ignores the fact that we need a military, we need an armed forces. But sir, based on what's happening right now with Russia and China, we seem to have done nothing more than drive our two biggest competitors together. I noticed that you gave a speech recently on this subject. What is the first thing you would advise an incoming administration? I know we even have a new block of congressmen. What would your advisement be to avert this war with China and Russia?
So, I mean, a couple of key things. The first most important priority would be to pursue a ceasefire with Russia and Ukraine to end the war. The only way we can effectively do that would be to cut off military assistance to Ukraine, because Zelensky has no incentive whatsoever. You know, with essentially the West has given him a blank check to fight the war in perpetuity. And he's enjoying his celebrity status as supposedly the Winston Churchill of Eastern Europe. But the fact is that we are risking an unnecessary nuclear war with Russia over a mere border dispute in Ukraine, in which Russia has essentially stated it only wants control of 14% of the territory that Ukraine controlled before the war. And it just doesn't make any sense. We don't want to risk the lives of 280 million Americans over that. So that's an important priority that, you know, a Republican Congress, assuming that they take control, it looks like they're going to take control of the House, possibly the Senate, should pursue in pressuring the Biden administration, which has been, you know, very, very supportive of Ukraine's war against Russia, to pursue. And then the other important thing is the Biden administration needs to provide strategic clarity on the Taiwan issue. That word is typically associated with stating that the U.S. will defend Taiwan militarily if China invades or attacks Taiwan. But the strategic clarity I'm talking about is that Biden would do the same thing he did with regards to Ukraine, in which he would state that the U.S. will not defend Taiwan militarily, just as he stated we would not defend Ukraine militarily from a potential Russian invasion before they invade it. And that's important because if he doesn't do that, or if he continues to suggest or insinuate that he will, that the U.S. will defend Taiwan militarily, then China would likely or very possibly launch a nuclear or first strike against, minimally against U.S. military bases and forces in the area. That could, you know, destroy them in kind of a Pearl Harbor type attack that could potentially include electromagnetic pulse weapons or even tactical nuclear weapons. So we don't want to see that happen.
You have many peers. I'm sure you have discussions about policy and about you know, common sense strategy when it comes to advising both congressmen, senators, even presidents, and the Pentagon, of course. In regard to China and Taiwan, it does appear that the Pentagon thinks that we might actually be able to win a war, even a regional conflict, and not take substantial casualties. This does seem on its face to be a little bit naive, especially with the Chinese practicing continuously to strike and sink our carrier strike groups. You know, I'm wondering specifically about their training exercise to sink carriers with hypersonic weapons. But regarding Taiwan, we don't seem to have a near, even a midterm strategy to defend that island. Yet we keep saying we'll send troops or we'll engage militarily. What could we do? If China decided right now to send, let's say they send 100,000 soldiers. I know the president in Taiwan, President Tsai, she's noted that an invasion could be imminent, could be as far away as 2027. But regardless, we don't have troops stationed there, from my understanding. Is that correct? And do we have anything stationary there to stop and deter a Chinese invasion?
We have no military assets in Taiwan. We haven't since we withdrew our troops in 1979, following the U.S. Full recognition of China and kind of derecognition of Taiwan. So, yeah, the idea that we can defend Taiwan militarily is really absurd. You know, President Trump reportedly stated, according to former National Security Advisor John Bolton, that we couldn't defend, there was no way to defend Taiwan because it was 100 miles from China and 8,000 miles from the U.S. And I think that's absolutely accurate. So if China were to blockade Taiwan today and invade it, it would take about 90 days for the U.S. to marshal the forces, military forces necessary merely to land troops in Taiwan, assuming we could get through the Chinese blockade, which according to the naval experts that I've seen, they would have 10 times more warships in the area that than the U.S. could muster. So we wouldn't even be able to break the blockade, let alone, you know, land troops in Taiwan to defend Taiwan, as Taiwan would most likely be conquered within a 3-month period. Yeah, the idea that we could do that is absurd. And, you know, I've participated in a lot of webinars, a number of webinars in which neoconservative Republicans have essentially stated that we could, they think we could fight a war with Taiwan and win it, as you stated, and they think it would remain conventional. They've even talked about launching U.S. conventional military strikes against, you know, air and missile strikes against Chinese bases, submarine bases, air bases where, you know, Chinese nuclear missiles and nuclear bombers and nuclear submarines are based. And under the assumption that the China wouldn't dare respond with nuclear missile strikes against the U.S. or U.S. forces in the area, because, you know, that would risk, that would be an act of suicide, essentially. They simply don't understand the Russian and Chinese mentality, which is that nuclear wars can be fought and won by the side that best prepares for them.
Well, sir, this is a very pointed day for us to have a conversation about military conflict. Of course, today's Veterans Day in America. We try to remember the sacrifice and try to honor those who've, of course, served. Now, my understanding is you're a veteran yourself. I'm a veteran of the U.S. Army. Yes. Now, thank you for your service, sir. And I think a lot today about the sacrifices that many have made and the scars they still hold with them. I think about this, and I think about what I've currently watched over the last year in Ukraine. The war is changing. In a lot of ways, I'm noticing a lot more cold and calculated. It's indirect death through drones now. And then, of course, artillery usage has been the predominant battlefield, killing weapon since World War II, even World War I. But now it's just so callous. It's so blind. And I think about the soldiers, you know, especially on both sides, Ukraine and Russia, that are going to have these scars that last for a decade. For us, we still talk about potentially defending these countries overseas, defending, you know, Taiwan, as if there's not going to be a long-term impact. And part of the thought I'd like to hear your opinion on this is what do we gain? What do we gain? As a veteran, I know I got the GI Bill, you know, and it sure felt great that I wasn't spat on when I came back from serving over in Iraq. But at the same time, I can't imagine what I'd say to a soldier who luckily, hopefully, they do come back from a conflict over in Taiwan if we sent soldiers. But as for Ukraine, we have mercenaries over there. We have other unconventional soldiers and some conventional inspecting weapons. What do we say to these soldiers coming back? What did you fight for? And if they lost friends, what did you lose the friend over?
Well, I mean, that's an excellent point. I mean, you know, I always said that the next world war won't be fought overseas. It'll be fought here at home. I as deputy director for national operations of the EMP Task Force on National Homeland Security, you know, we've been trying to highlight a very important threat, which is the threat of EMP attack on the U.S. The Russians, the Chinese, even the North Koreans have the capability to destroy the U.S. with EMP and cyber weapons, with potentially without even using any direct nuclear ground impacts. So the idea that we can fight Russia and China overseas and that our troops will come home, I mean, they may not have a country to come home to, even if they were survive a conflict like that. Fortunately, at this point, you know, we do have hundreds of special forces troops in Ukraine. I've not seen any reports that they're actually engaged in direct fighting against Russian forces. They're being used to train the Ukrainians in the use of U.S. heavy weapons. as well as to advise them as to which Russian targets to destroy. But, you know, one of the most surprising things of the war that I didn't anticipate is that Russian President Putin has not really, you know, responded or retaliated as Matt, you know, hardly at all to our many provocations. You know, we're increasingly provoking Russia to, you know, to strike back at us. And according to the experts that I respect most, Russia currently has, there's a chance of a 30% chance of Russian nuclear escalation against Ukraine. So even President Biden has admitted, you know, that we are on the verge of nuclear Armageddon. And he said so in kind of a nonchalant way, with no real plan to get us away from the the edge of the nuclear abyss. It completely repudiating all the lessons that JFK taught us during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And
well, President Putin's temperance, you know, his patience, honestly, his restraint has saved the world. And you know, something I would like to ask before we close out here is, what do you think would prompt a response? I mean, thank God one hasn't happened yet. Thank God the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, for example, hasn't had a meltdown, hasn't been struck, hasn't been destroyed, which would cause a new Chernobyl potentially. And of course, thank God the Russians haven't used their nuclear weapons defensively or offensively in slowing the offensive. But what will prompt the Russians and Chinese to respond? Something we can watch for, pray doesn't happen. What do you think is their red line?
Well, I think for China, it's, you know, it's obvious that the U.S. defending Taiwan militarily or trying to break the blockade would be their red line. In terms of the Russians, I think their red line would be if the U.S. were to create a no-fly zone over Ukraine, in which they shot down Russian aircraft, or if they were to send a large number of troops, combat troops in Ukraine. You know, one of the most disturbing things that has been reported lately is the deputy commanding general of the 101st Airborne, which is exercising, you know, joint military exercises mere miles away from the Ukrainian border in Romania, stated that they weren't his, you know, the division wasn't there for a training operation. They were there for a combat deployment, ready to crossover in Ukraine at a moment's notice if Russia were to escalate its war in Ukraine. And we know Russia's going to escalate its war in Ukraine. Putin has said so. He's signed a no limits mobilization order, in which he's mobilized so far that we know of 381,000 Russian troops, Russian reservists, to send Ukraine. And once those troops are fully mobilized by the end of the year, they'll likely be used to retake all of the lost territory that Russia controlled prior to the Ukrainian offensive that began in September. So, obviously the insertion of U.S. forces in Russia would be a triggering event that very well could lead to a nuclear war.
Well, I pray that that doesn't happen. I pray that commander doesn't get his wishes, and I pray again that peace would come to that land so it doesn't bring war to ours. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us, and take care. Have a good Thanksgiving break.
Thank you. Happy Veterans Day.
Leaky gut is affecting millions of people nationwide. Warning signs include weight gain and fatigue and digestive discomfort, stiff and achy joints, even skin problems. Well, Dr. Gundry explains these side effects are often mistaken for normal signs of aging because leaky gut usually develops over a matter of years and sometimes even decades. Yeah, as you adhere to all of the advice from they. But I can assure you the damage is caused by these health foods, and it's far from normal. The good news is the problem can be easily fixed from your own home. It's very simple. You just have to know which foods are actually healthy and which contain this hidden toxin. So you can go find this yourself. GutCleanseProtocol.com/stew. GutCleanseProtocol.com/stew. Because after years of research, Dr. Gundry has decided to release an informative video to the public, free and uninterrupted, showcasing exactly which foods you need to avoid. Go find that video at gutcleanseprotocol.com/stew.
Welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, as many of you know, Died Suddenly, the exclusive documentary found on the Stu Peters Network covering the truth about the clot shots, will be released on November 21st. You can find it early over at StuPeters.com. If you sign up for the list, you will get an exclusive premiere look at Died Suddenly. Now we have an exclusive update from our documentary team, Matt Scow and Nicholas Stumphauser, and they join us now.
Thanks, Lauren. We are back in the cave once again to tell you guys an update on the film. We're 10 days out. 10 days. I just found a picture of what our timeline looked like 3.5 weeks ago. It was very empty.
They say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. But ours is a sprinting marathon.
We sprint the marathon. Yeah, we run as fast as we can for all 26 miles.
Yeah. Let me tell you, like, you know, like something with this subject and how important it is, you almost want to have more time with it, right? But this is so crucial. Like, yeah. the information that we've uncovered, we can't hold another 2 months on it.
It's a real tough balance. People need to see this. People should have known this stuff a year and a half ago, right, ideally. But every day that this doesn't come out is a day that another person might decide to take a vaccine that could kill them or injure them.
Look,
they can't share with their family this info.
Just last weekend, I was at church, and I overheard an older couple talking about potentially getting the booster. And I was like, wow, I have to say something. I have to tell them what I do. And I turned around to them, and I shared them a little bit of the trailer, and just warned them about the dangers of what we've uncovered in the last 2 months of doing this. And I felt it was my duty to warn them.
Right.
I turn around, you know, singing a song, and she passes out. Literally. She passed out 5 minutes after I was telling her about this. So if people in my church are still considering taking the boosters, they have no clue what's going on.
You know, people, you'll see in the comments, they're saying like, well, why are you guys sitting on it? Why are you sitting on the film?
Yeah.
I can assure you we are not sitting on it. Working as hard as we possibly can to get this information out, but we have to do a few things. First of all, we're vetting everything that we're putting in this film. We're really trying to do our due diligence so that when people watch this and they share it with others to spread the information, you can't poke holes in it, all right? We're trying to do a very robust job in defending the content that's in there. And second of all, you're looking at the crew. You're looking at the people putting this together right now. So from start to finish, this will have been an 83-day sprint to bring you guys this film. And if we had another 83 days, you darn well know it would be twice as long and even more detail, but this has to get into the world.
Thanks for sticking by and the anticipation. Share the trailer. The trailer's well over 2 million views in over a week. Fantastic response. We're just so proud of this, and we can't wait for the world to see it because it's so timely, and this will save lives. There's no doubt about it.
Stay tuned. 10 days, guys. Look forward to seeing you on premiere day.